picking up strangers. Let me tell you about the dangers. You never know what they're out to get from you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Episode 20.
I thought last week was 20.
Last week was episode 19, but you were close. Episode 20, picking up strangers. Thanks for tuning in. Big shout out to Esports Arena for letting us use this wonderful facility once again.
Esports.
If you guys got any comments or concerns, please be sure to email us at pickingupstrangerspodcast@gmail.com.
We actually read them.
Friendly Frank, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing all right, I guess.
Well,
I don't want to oversell it.
Yeah, you're really good at that every episode.
Yeah, that's what I do. I don't want to oversell it because there's some people out there who, oh man, that guy must be having an amazing life. You know, I wish I could have an amazing life like him. You know, sometimes people look at celebrities or people of in higher positions or something, someone doing something that they're not doing, that they think, oh wow, they got it so good. And sometimes people allow them to live in that illusion. And I just bring it down to earth. I'm all right.
So you think that there's people listening to a podcast provided by two rideshare drivers that think we're just living high on the hog and you want to make sure you don't make them feel inferior?
Yeah.
Good. I was
wondering. Wait a minute. This is heard all over the world, okay? There might be somebody in the...
I am happy that we're in Crazy Town. I wasn't quite sure where you were at.
Crazy Town!
Judging by your outfit, but I'm happy we're in Crazy Town.
There might be somebody in Bosnia. I don't know if you've been to Bosnia, but it's all right. Huh? No, but I've seen pictures. And you know what? If I was in Bosnia and I was listening, just stumbled onto a podcast and I heard us, and I'd be like, oh man, those guys sound like they got it really good.
Let me tell you what.
I'm letting that guy know that, you know what, man? We're just trying. We're trying. That's all.
If you're in Bosnia and you have the ability to listen to a podcast, my guess is you're doing pretty darn fantastic in Bosnia. That means you got some sort of wealth because you've got a computer,
a phone, and some sort of internet. It's not that poor there, man. They got the internet and stuff, man. What are you talking
about?
Not
everybody. Not like here where you can walk down to Starbucks and log in.
Not like America. Not like America. There's a lot of things that are not like America. Yeah. America is not like America.
Well, that's probably more true than not nowadays.
Yeah.
How was your week? What's going on?
It was all right.
I mean, we're starting to see each other on a regular basis now, so.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, we got our schedules down, so that works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah?
Rideshare is rideshare. You're supposed to be moving that lot at LAX.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be right next to Terminal 1. I'll see how they work that shit out. For those that don't know, if you're flying to LAX, you'll be shuttled to a lot where you will be picked up by your rideshare driver. That's a new rule. We can drop out there, we just can't pick up at the terminal. They say it's because of the amount of traffic. I say it's because of the lack of supervision getting people in and out of there. There's people parked there. There's people, you know, doing love scenes right before they go, taking, you know, all this time when it's supposed to be drop off and go. So, heads up, that'll be the end of this month. That's going to start.
I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
It'll be way easier.
You know how they sold it?
Huh.
We'll have food trucks there. Food trucks. Now, you've been flying around the world. You come to LAX, and then they drag you in a shuttle to a lot, and you're supposed to be happy about, oh, man, food trucks.
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, you would be.
That's a nice little gesture. Food truck. Because guess what?
You know what else is a nice gesture?
What they should do?
Convenience.
What they should do is say, you don't like what we got going on? Well, you can use a different airport. That's it. That would be my point of view. Here's what we need. Here's what we're doing. This is our establishment. Here's what we're doing. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm going to invite you to fly somewhere else.
But when it's their fault. You know, a lot of that traffic's up there because
of... What does it matter if it's their fault or not? Well,
they're inconveniencing the customer.
And if the customer doesn't like it so much, they'll go somewhere else.
Taken away because people like you just roll over and go, okay, here it is, have at me.
No, absolutely not. That's not rolling over.
They're supposed to have people there that are moving that traffic, telling people, hey, drop off and go get it's a big stupid thing to begin with because, you know, the taxi cabs are, they're protesting because they're going to lose like 30% of their business because of the move. And the taxi cab service is one of the lobbies that kept light rail and trains from going down there to that airport. And now it's going to bite them in the ass. Because they pay, you, man, them cabs used to grease the city council.
Yeah,
you know,
but here's the deal. California is not built for a mass transit infrastructure. It doesn't have it. It's too.
They had streetcars.
It's too. Okay, we're talking about like 1920. No,
not 1920.
Yes, we are.
We're talking about 50s and 60s too in some places.
Okay, not definitely not in LA because Ford bought out the Red Line way before
Ford.
That. Yeah.
Automobile company.
But you're talking about a trolley that is just like inner city. California is too sprawling. Los Angeles is a sprawling city. It's not like New York, where it's condensed, right? Okay. And then you got city here, space, city over there. What it is widespread, full city everywhere. The best mass transit is probably going to be Uber and Lyft. It's the most economical and the most reliable.
Okay, and while you're saying that, they're making it inconvenient for the people that use Uber and Lyft.
How do you know it's going to be more inconvenient? I've seen those wait lines at little wait lot F where there's 7 to, I'll say even 12 people deep along the entire curb and everyone's looking for a fucking place to get into a car. That's a shit show. That's not the most convenient and most efficient way to get off a plane and get home.
Well, how about...
I've had to walk through that line.
How about
using
the people that you got there to direct traffic to direct traffic? You know, if you go to John Wayne Airport, and if you sitting there more than you're a lot of time, somebody comes up and tells you, you got to go.
You're crazy. They have like 2 cops for the entire airport that walk that.
People know. I know. You don't do that many trips.
I do plenty of trips in and out of Santa Ana. And I've seen what they do at LAX.
And they will tell you to you have to go around.
They will get you, but it's not like they have a fucking
LAX,
officer
nobody,
station.
Nobody
That's
says
not true.
Nothing.
LAX
hardly,
does. Yes,
hardly,
they do.
No, hardly.
And there's 5,000 times more cars at LAX than there is at John Wayne.
And it seems like they've given up, and that's the reason why you have the mess that you have there.
Well, you
and
I will continue to disagree about why
driver,
there's a mess
any
there.
Driver that's been there, going there long enough, and seen the different changes and stuff will tell you, yes.
I welcome any driver to correspond with us in some sort of fashion to tell me or Frank one way or another that you think the reason it's all fucked up is because there's not enough people telling people to get out of there on the road. Because my reason is there's too many fucking people, period. And that airport was built.
Not
that
designed
airport was built
to handle
stupidly.
That much.
Correct. That's the real problem.
Yeah. And the fact that they're doing construction around there, that's the other part of the
that's
problem.
That's part of it.
But don't blame it on Uber and Lyft and don't inconvenience those customers.
I don't think anybody's blaming Uber and Lyft for anything. What they're trying to do is make it more efficient.
I listened to the press conference. Okay? Press conference. They're saying that Uber, the rideshare companies, are the biggest problem. Because they're moving the most people through there.
Well, if they think that that's the biggest problem, then it's a false logic, because those people have to get to the airport one way or another.
They're
not carpooling. They're not taking a train. Their family's dropping them off. Point. Their parents dropping them off. Their friends dropping them off. The same amount of cars are going back and forth. So if that's their argument, I will be on your side. And I will say, they're full of shit.
All right.
But
thank you.
The problem is...
Thank you.
The way it was built. Don't get me
No, not the way it was built. I mean,
the way the airport was built is designed
poorly. It was designed poorly, plus greedy people wanted to keep their monopoly of picking up people at the airport. That's the reason why you don't have light rail that goes through there. Eventually it'll get there. But look, this is 2019.
Yeah.
The only reason they're doing the upgrades that they're doing to that airport right now is because we got the Olympics coming in, what, 2028, 2024?
Well, there is so many different factors that you can say it's greedy monopoly people and use your conspiracy theories. That's fine.
That's not
but
a conspiracy.
Real facts are there's multiple reasons why that airport's a shit show. Number one, a lot more people can afford to fly. That's first and foremost. Flying wasn't, and I'm not going to go super far back, but if you go to the 50s and 60s, flying wasn't something everybody did. Flying was business, and maybe people
who
had enough money.
Yeah, they even dressed up.
Right, you had to dress up nice. It was a fucking whole event. Right? Nowadays,
that's the reason
pretty
why,
much anyone
that's
can
the
fly.
Reason why the motherfuckers could park the car in front of the airport and run and get on the air. They would park their car and get inside the plane within 5 minutes. Back in the old days.
Well, there wasn't a lot of security measures, and people weren't thinking about blowing up planes and stuff.
No,
like
they
that,
were thinking about it back then too.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are we done with LAX? Because we may have a special guest today. There's a lot of stuff planned, so I don't want to spend too much time.
See, you didn't even tell me none of this special.
I don't tell you
stuff.
Anything anymore because I don't want to argue with you. I'm just gonna start doing stuff, and we'll see how you handle it.
All right. This can be used as evidence in a court of law. This is going to be Exhibit A.
Do we start talking about Jersey Mike? Yes, we did. You gave a teaser for Jersey Mike last week. So, why don't you tell me...
I don't even want to talk about Jersey Mike now.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Jersey Mike?
You know, I don't know. Sometimes I get these drunk Caucasian confessionals in my car.
I like those.
You
I like
get
any,
those too?
I like any drunk confessional, to be honest with you.
And it's like, you know that they're full of shit.
Okay.
Especially when every other word out of your mouth is brother. Brother. Brother.
What do you mean? You can't trust Hulk Hogan? You started that shit.
No. There's only so many brothers, man. Okay? Brother, 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 brother. Okay. I get it. But then, Jersey Mike is this drunk dude. And I only drove him 1.5 miles.
Okay. Ooh.
Yes.
It means there's a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah. And so, I pick him up in the bar. Big guy, 6'4", probably.
Do you remember?
I don't know.
Or where was it at?
Man, it don't matter.
Sometimes it does.
It was in Tustin.
I like to know.
And it was one of the more hole-in-the-wall bars. It wasn't like...
Was it like Old Town Tustin?
I think so.
Okay. The Black Marlin?
No. It was a couple of steps down. Was maybe Marty's? I don't know.
All right. Well, the only reason I ask is I put a couple people... From Blue Marlin or Black Marlin, whichever the one that is, and they might have been friends, but go ahead.
But, they're real tight in that area. I know, I've been in that community for a while. So we get to driving, and he hits me with the brother. Yeah, brother.
He goes, is it brother, or is it
no,
brother?
No, brother. Brother.
Threw the ER on it.
Yeah. Brother.
ER's got a bad rap.
I'm like,
nowadays.
You're not even saying it right. I know you're trying to sound cool, but... All right.
Come on, Ted. Get
so
with
he's telling me that, you know, he was a Marine.
Okay.
And
did you thank him for his service?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
You're not an immediate thinker.
No, because sometimes you got to feel that person out. Some people that serve this country don't like hearing that. They don't like the canned response.
Correct.
To...
I don't think they like the obligatory thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
I agree.
And so I try to find a way where if I listen to that person and I pick up on them, I know when to say it or how to say it.
Okay.
So I can tell he's from Jersey. But he's lived out here for over 20 years because he came out here with the Marines. He's been a Marine for a while, and now he's a retired Marine because there's no such thing as... Anyway. So he's talking to me, and he's like, yeah, you know, this is a really good ride. I'm like, I think maybe we've gone on maybe a block. And he's like, yeah, brother, this is a really good ride. And he goes, you know, you seem to be a nice guy. He goes, you know, I came from Jersey. I was the only white guy in my neighborhood. I had to put up with a lot of shit. And I joined the Marines. And I did that. And I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he started naming all these places. And he goes, you know, and there were brothers. Brothers. Now, I hadn't heard brother probably 20 times now. Now, mind you, this is 1.5 mile trip. And he starts talking about how, you know, he didn't have it easy, but he ain't blame nobody.
Mm-hmm. So he still like black people even though they beat him up every day?
Yeah, I guess. This is Jersey Mike's story. So then he goes, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, getting old. He goes, you know, I got 6 grandkids. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he goes, and 4 of them are half black. And I was like, wow.
Was he waiting for like a high five? Or
I don't know.
Like,
I wanted to say
something. You want to put a little hole punch into his honorary brother card or what?
I wanted to say it sounds like your daughter like black dick. But then I knew I would not get 5 stars from him. And he
You're
was
still
much
worried about
too
them damn 5
yeah,
stars,
man. 5 stars kept me from saying that. That would have been funny. And he goes, I love them just like I love the rest of them. Oh,
the other two,
like,
the
yeah.
other two white ones?
Yeah. Already made a difference, see? And I'm just listening to this talk. 1.5 mile trip. I'm like, man. And so then he starts telling me about how the white man gets a bad rap.
Okay. Oh, now we're getting into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into the thing.
Now, in my head at this moment, I'm shaking my fist at God. Because he did this shit on purpose. He did it on purpose. He does it to me. Every now and then, he just likes to know that he messing with me. God messes with me. My first customer, Uber customer, I said this in the first episode, was an old lady from Laguna Niguel, somewhere in that area, and her name was Daisy.
Uh-huh.
That was my first Uber trip.
Yeah, your white lady first trip, Miss Daisy.
You're just she driving sat in Miss Daisy around. Exactly.
Now, if she would have called you a hoe, if she would have called you a hoe, that would have made me laugh.
No. I think I was taking the whole hospital, though.
You know what actually really amuses me about that statement is the arrogance in it from you.
Arrogance of what?
Well, let's just say God wasn't busy that day. You feel like it was his intention to fuck with, like he had the time to just fuck with you. He didn't have other stuff to deal with.
God multitasks, man. He got lots of things he's doing. Lots
of things. And on his calendar that day, like, oh, shit. Today's the day I gotta fuck with Friendly Frank.
Friendly Frank meets Jersey Mike. Hey, guys, what do we got?
What do we got in the bag for Friendly Frank? We got Jersey Mike.
Jersey Mike.
Fucking with Jersey Mike.
I know. I've been in this situation before, man. I worked with a guy named Missouri Al.
Maybe it's just tough meeting people
or
being in the presence of people who have states in their name.
He was a co-worker. We sold cars together back at John Cheesick Hyundai Suzuki in St. Charles, Missouri. Back in 89.
Definitely just stop the car and open the doors if Texas Ted steps in, okay? Because it's not going to work out.
Well, Missouri Al used to go to this place with them after work. We sold cars together. After work, we go to this place called the Show Me Bar. And it was as rednecky a place could be. And me and Al were cool. He was an older guy, bald in hair, looked like a community college professor.
Okay.
Yeah. With a drinking problem. Al was one of the only people I knew that could drink, and the more he drank, the better he got at pool. And we were talking one time, we were sitting at the bar, and he told me that he used to hate black people.
Okay.
He was raised that way.
Sure. And people like that.
Mm-hmm. And fast forward, he's a senior in high school, and him and his friend joined the army. They're in the army.
Mm-hmm.
Stationed in like Mississippi, someplace like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
White guy. And they go to this little quick shop to buy some beer, but they were underage. And they had their guns with them.
Oh, okay.
And the way Al tells the story, they wanted to buy the beer. The guy wouldn't sell them the beer. So they go to the car. Al's friend goes back inside. And he comes back with the beer. And what he did was he went in there. He didn't show his gun. It was there. He put money on there and he grabbed a beer and left.
Okay.
And for that, they were either going to do time in military prison or they could do one tour in Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I would have taken prison, to be honest.
I think Al wasn't the brightest bulb. I think it was 5 years. It was something like, because they were going to get for armed robbery.
Okay.
Because the guy said he brandished a weapon.
Okay.
So one tour, I guess, sounded better. And long story short of it, Al was a POW.
Really?
And he saw his friend get shot in the head. They put him in a bamboo
tiger box
cage. And it was in the ground, like underground. And he told me one time a bird landed on there and he ate it. He picked the feathers out of it because he was starving, man. They would throw food at him and shit. And he said, and one day, nobody came around. Nobody threw food at him or, you know, cussed him or fucked with him or anything like that. He was in that hole. And he said he was in that hole. He lost track of time. You know, he was there for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But no food, no water in that hole. And he said one day he was in that hole and he thought he was going to die. And he looked up and he saw a black face. And it was another soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, hey, man, we're going to get you help. He said, and Al was like, thank you. You know, he's like, I'm going to go get help. I'll be right back. He's like, no, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Al told me that was the moment that he loved black people.
Uh-huh.
And what had happened was this guy was on patrol and he got lost. Uh-huh. And he stumbled on him in that hole, finding this little camp.
Right.
With him in the hole.
And all the people left already.
Yeah. They just left him. And it turned his whole world around about what he felt as far as race and how stupid it was.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it really doesn't take that much smarts to realize how stupid it is. But
no, it does.
Apparently it does take a little bit.
Even in 2019.
So how did it end up with Jersey Mike? How'd the ride end?
Well, Jersey Mike ended it with, why is this so hard? Why is everybody mad at the white man?
Oh, that's right. The white guy was getting a bad rap.
Yeah.
And what was your response?
I said, I don't know. Thank you for your service.
Boy, what a chicken shit way out of that.
Hey, man, I'm trying to keep 5 stars, man. I told you, man. I couldn't say what I wanted to say. I get this shit dumped on me. I get this shit dumped on me on a regular, man. You don't understand. Part of it is because, well, number one, I can look very friendly. I look like someone that you can talk to. Okay?
And when people are those times?
Huh?
When does that happen?
People know. People out there know.
Okay, you can't count stage time or after stage time.
No.
Or when people are trying to get on your good side and get on stage.
There's plenty of comics that know.
No, I'm talking about a regular walking around day. When do you ever look approachable?
Maybe it's you, Mike. Maybe
it's always me, according to you.
My brother told me to go easy on you. I would go easy on you because my brother Tim said go easy on Mike.
Because your brother Tim likes me.
Yeah, wasn't there not the light?
Oh,
and, but you know, I think people there are times where I'm very approachable.
Okay, we'll just say that's true.
When that door swings open, people come right through, and they say shit that I'd be like, "There's no way I would have said that," or.
Well, I kind of get that. Like, when people find out that you work, you know, where if you work where we worked, you know, if you're mm-hmm. at that comedy club, they know you work at a comedy club. I was at a, like a mixer. It's called OC's Biggest Mixer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We had that tent set up and everything. Some random guy comes up to me and goes, oh, you work at the improv. And I got a big improv shirt on. So I'm like, yeah, of course I work at the improv. He goes, okay. He goes, Let me tell you a joke. Okay. I don't know this guy. I've now met him for 33 seconds flat. He goes, what do you think about this one? What'd one tampon say to the other tampon? I don't know what. He goes, nothing. They're both stuck up cunts. And I just think, how, in what, because it's actually a business function, in what frame of mind do you have to be that that's like, that's your opener? That's your opener for meeting somebody for the first time. It's because I work at a con. I mean, luckily it was me, but what if I was a super sensitive or super proper type of person?
Super proper? No, there's just, you don't even have to be super. There's just common sense. Common ethics.
Well, that I don't know if you it's should even have. Ethics, really?
Huh?
I mean, look.
Well,
I'm not easily offended.
For that to be your opener? That dude's an asshole.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not easily offended.
You can follow him home and you'll find a trail of people. That dude's an asshole. He was at Starbucks, he was an asshole. He was at CVS drugstore, he was an asshole. He was at the gas station, he was an asshole. You go back to his mama's house, she tell you he was an asshole. But
well,
those people,
possible.
But there used to be, people felt like they had that freedom that, hey, you know what? And I think it's flexing its muscle now that, you know what? I'm proud that I'm not, you know, politically correct. I'm proud that, you know, I can say whatever I fucking
say.
Well,
I do believe people should have that right. And I do support everyone who feels that way. However, you have to be accepting of the consequence.
Exactly.
If you tell me, if I'm easily offended by the word cunt, and you give me that joke, and I punch you in the face, that's the end of it.
Yeah, that was the
consequence.
Hey
man, you don't say that kind of shit to me.
Yeah.
You don't know who
exactly.
I am.
Exactly. I don't know about
punching him in
the face.
However you respond, you have to expect, you have to accept the response. Now, I wasn't offended by the guy. I thought the joke was in poor taste. But it's obviously stuck to me that I've remembered it over the years, you know, because that happened probably 10 years ago. And it's just an example to me of, you know, sometimes people just make an assumption what you look like, what you're wearing, where you work.
Because you're in the club.
That you're in, you know, they have some sort of liberty with what they say or how they act around you.
Yeah.
And which is, again, okay with me. Because that just points you out in the crowd, like, oh, I got it. I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I know to stay away from you now. You know, so I never discourage people from saying what they really feel, because then I know how much time I want to spend with you. Right?
I can agree with that
to a certain
extent. I
let them weed themselves out.
But some people, they push it, and they push it, and they push it.
The only reason they push it is because... What the problem is the response has been stifled.
No.
Right?
No.
What do you mean no? It used to be if you got bullied on the playground, you got bullied until you punched that little kid directly in the face. And then guess what? That bully stopped being bullying. Or stopped being a bully. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But now
yeah.
It's taught, you know, you don't touch, you don't fight. You
well,
go
you
tell
know
the
what?
Teacher, they get a timeout.
You know what?
Or there's a conversation. No, whoop the shit out of that kid and watch what happens. He stops doing it.
No.
Sure it does.
That does stop it to a certain extent. But a lot of bullies, I don't know what the statistics are, but I've read and heard, they're physically abused at home.
Okay, I'm not talking about parents beating them. I'm not talking about adults beating them. I'm talking about the bully or the bully-y.
Shit rolls downhill.
Right, but you gotta
so
stop
if you're
it.
Getting, if you're bullying a kid at home, he goes to school and bullies those kids. Sometimes it's just as simple as that.
It's more than likely the case. But
so then you're not punishing the problem. You're punishing the side effect. You're not fixing the problem. You're fixing the side effect. That kid, yes. And I've done it before, too. Somebody kept bullying me, and my parents helped me. Hey, and then if you didn't whoop his ass, I'm going to whoop your ass when you get home.
Well,
You don't let nobody put their hands on you, disrespect you.
Yeah. But here's what it is. Is it going to solve the parents beating their kids? No. But what it is going to show this kid is, look, there are still repercussions for your actions. And that's something to learn early in life, because if you don't learn it early in life, what you get is a Jersey Mike, or what you get is, you know, a guy telling another guy he just met a tampon joke that ends with cunt. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Those are guys who didn't get punched in the face after calling somebody.
But they didn't have, some of those people didn't need to get punched in the face.
No, sometimes
some
they
didn't
even
talk to.
Some
of them, they just need a fucking hug. Sometimes they just need somebody to talk to and listen to them. That's all they need. That's the problem with a lot of people in the world right now. If they really thought that they had somebody that would listen to them.
Did you just say the world needs a fucking hug? How many times have you seen Joker already? I feel like you've already watched it 3 times.
No, but I was... Thank you for reminding me about that, homie. Woo! Woo! You know when something seems familiar to you? me and my wife, we went to go see it. And at the end, I was like, you know what the only thing that makes
you... I see your face. You're all worked up. Somebody wrote my story.
I said, you know the only thing to make this movie better? Black Joker. Younger Afro white face. Oh man, that was a good movie. It wasn't, if you're a comic book fan, it's I'd say it's a marginal movie.
Comic book purist, I would
purist,
say.
Purist, yeah, maybe purist is better.
For those people that get all crazy on time frames.
Well,
no,
it's not just that. I seen those dudes in the interviews before the movie came out, and they were trying to distance themselves from the comic book people. Like, the comic book people are lowbrow, and we're bringing you this work of art. Okay? Don't play that shit with me.
What if they're
You're
trying to
put
distance
Bruce Wayne
just
in there
to make sure that the audience knows we're not trying to be true to the comic books? I don't, you know, we don't want to hear your shit about that. We've created our own.
There's a way you can say that without making it feel like, oh, because you read comic books. Well, no, because...
Are you only feeling that way because you read comic books, though?
I don't still read comic books. I don't. I watch cartoons. I got the Marvel Universe. What you talking about, man? I just go to the movies. But the Joker... Like I said, the Joker was pretty good, but as far as like a artsy, dramatic acting, that was good. It was solid, and the parts about him trying to be the comedian, you know, you're gonna find this interesting.
Hmm.
You know, when he would go into his delusions,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was going into delusions. There was a couple of scenes where I thought that was just what was really happening, and then it was like, so he was making that up.
Is that how you wake up on Sunday sometimes?
Sometimes. Not just Sundays, man. It's like, oh yeah, that's the way it's gonna be.
There's a couple of things I didn't want to bring up.
Mm-mm.
You did we already talk about this? Oh. Actually, we did. We talked about my jacket from Lyft doing 1,000 rides, right? And
I got a t-shirt.
Oh, did you finally get a t-shirt?
No, I got a t-shirt. I just forgot about it. It was a t-shirt. I did.
For your doing your 10,000th ride?
No, you don't get none for 10,000. Oh, they gave you that money that they took away from us, and then they gave it back. That's that. And anybody that's an Uber driver that's been back driving for at least a year knows... That was a funny ass joke, and it was true. Funny, deep, and true.
I will tell you this: I had one really good ride, and I'm only going to say this for the audience because I didn't know this place existed. But it is a big problem out there, so maybe somebody listening might find it useful. Is I picked up a family that was from Delaware. They were staying in Long Beach. We picked them up in Brea, and we went to Long Beach, and we got to talking. And the best allergy institute in the world is in Long Beach. Did you know that?
No.
So their son apparently has severe dairy, eggs, and wheat allergies. So, I mean, the fucking kid can't eat anything for the most part, right? Mm. To the point of death. So what they do is they come to this doctor, whatever doctor is at this allergy institute, because I had severe allergies as a kid, and I used to have to go get shots twice a week, right? So they'd shoot you up with something or other, and then you go on with your day. But what this guy does is like, and part of the old therapies were, it was almost like the Princess Bride in Iocane powder. I did a little bit each day to get immune to it. So that's what they used to do kind of with allergies, is if you're allergic to eggs, they'd start giving you little doses, micro doses of eggs, and building it up until you built up a tolerance. What they do now is, say you're allergic to, apples. What they do is they find another product that has a similar protein strain, and they start dosing you that way.
Right.
So it's a brand new, innovative thing. Anyways, anybody out there suffering from allergies, take a look Go at it. Mommy. I mean, it's for severe allergy stuff, you know, where you're constantly worried about someone, one of your loved ones dying or something because they eat a peanut on accident. But I just want to throw that out there. Now, I do have some other ideas. I've been thinking about things lately, and you know what that leads to. That leads to lots of fun. So I ask you every year, and every year you tell me, you know, hell no, I ain't doing that shit, blah, 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 blah. What if we did a Coachella podcast, 3 episodes, once a day, we're at Coachella, and we go drive?
Man, I am not going to Coachella, boy.
Why not?
I don't want to put up with that shit.
You don't put up? You put up with more out here on the streets here than you do at Coachella.
Yeah. And I don't have to drive no 2 hours to...
We drive there, we stay the weekend. We drive back home.
I don't want to.
Why not?
Because I don't want to go there.
The money you make in those 3 days is worth it just to do it.
No.
Yes, it is.
You have told me that you felt the last time you went.
Declined from the first time that I went. Yes. But it's still worth it for more than
a week. Worth it for you. You.
On average, for a full week of work, do you make between $700 and $900, or is it more or less? In a full week of work.
A full week?
For whatever your normal week is of work, do you make between $700 and $900, or is it more or less?
It's more or less.
Is it more or is it less on general? In general? Or is it in between that range?
It's in there.
So it's between $700 and $900. And that's over...
More or less.
And that's over how many days on average?
Maybe 5 or 6.
Okay, so on my last one that it did decline, that it was like, okay, it was a bummer, it was over $1,000 still for 3 days. One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
So financially, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. I ain't got the patience to fool with them fools.
You don't need any additional patience for anything.
I don't want to drive out there. I don't. And here's something that you forget. It's just like the gold rush. All these fools run out there toward the hills. And they
you
open
have
up.
All these theories and thoughts about things, and you've never done them.
What are you talking Lyft about?
Lyft is bullshit.
I didn't say Lyft was bullshit.
I ain't going to Coachella. I'm messing with none of that shit. And everybody goes out there and I make tons of money. You have no fucking idea because you've never done
it. Yeah, I'm listening to you. I don't want to go. Period. And no matter how you wrap up that shit, I don't want to go to Coachella.
Why not?
I'll stay here and make money because fools run to Coachella. Drive 2 hours to go to Coachella to make some money.
It's an hour and a half.
Okay, hour and a half. Minutes. All right. and you fool with that traffic, you waiting at lines, and you pull. I listen to you talk about it, okay? And I have nothing in my body says go to Coachella.
Why not? Why wouldn't it be a good idea to have two different experiences that we could talk about?
You know what? You can be our correspondent in Coachella, and I'll be like the local anchor here in Orange County.
What? It's 3 days out of 1 year to give it a shot, and then you could say for good, fuck that, wasn't worth it, I hated it, or, you know what, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
I don't want to go to Coachella. And you know what? Yeah, some shit.
Stubborn like a child sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
No when real reason. No real reason at all besides, I don't
want to. I don't want to. That's all I need to do in this world. I don't want to. I don't want to go up there. I don't want to drive through that traffic. I listen to you talk about that shit. You didn't even like it.
But we can go through it and work on different things.
If I can stay here with a lower amount of stress.
There's no stress up there.
I listened to you.
It's not stressful.
And they made you go back around and you were parked in the wrong place.
Once you understand how it works, yeah. There's no stress.
Well, guess what? I know how it works down here. I know how it works between here and San Diego and Oxnard and Bannon, all those places I've been. I know how it works. I like it that way. Next
what?
What? I thought you had another idea.
No, that was my big closure. That's right, my, there.
Nah, it ain't happening at Coachella, man. I seen pictures of Coachella.
That's not a valid argument.
I've listened to people talk
I will accept I don't want to over I've seen pictures of Coachella. That's a bullshit excuse. Pictures don't tell you what's going on.
No, it don't. But it gives you an idea. And it's just like, you know, that's like being the old dude at the club.
What do you mean being the old dude at the club? I know the reference, Coachella, but I don't understand
Coachella's
how this works
for
together.
The kids, man. Let the kids have fun.
I do. And I transport them back and forth in a safe manner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I listen to all their great stories.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. You better be careful.
Be careful with what?
You use a filter, too.
What are you talking about? I use a filter.
Yeah, you use a filter. All right. What else you got going on over there?
Not much, man. That's... Oh. I thought I was going to have a conversation, but...
Yeah, we did. And you got an answer, too.
Tell you what I did see today, way off subject. I was on Snapchat, and they had, like, a story on there from Guinness Book of World Records. And I don't know what it is about those people with the longest fingernails, but those are the grossest... It, like, makes me nauseous looking at that. Mm. I don't know why it's so disgusting, fingernails like that, but...
Because you always think that the fingernails are dirty.
And I don't know. No, it's like the bumpiness or the ridges. Yeah. And they curl. It's just, I don't know. It's gross. That's way off subject, but I put that down just because I thought about it.
Also, shout out to Tyler. Tyler from Alicia Viejo. Is that
Alicia
right?
Alicia Viejo.
Alicia Viejo.
Alicia Bay.
They go to college down in San Diego. I pick up these kids, man.
Mm-hmm.
They probably freshmen or sophomores in college, and I pick them up at the Alicia Viejo In-N-Out Burger.
Okay.
Apparently, there was some small amount of drama at the Alicia Viejo In-N-Out Burger.
Okay.
Now, if you know Alicia Viejo, there's not a lot of drama there. But
anything to do there.
But there was drama that night. Apparently,
kids have been drinking.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Those little rascally kids.
I don't know if they had been drinking or smoking, but they were happy. They were very happy. I think they were happy because it was the weekend and they were out of school and they were visiting their parents. And they were trying to hook up with this girl. And then they started talking about how that girl looked like their friend in the back seat. And he was like, how does she look like me? And he said, well, she has nice eyebrows and face. And I was thinking, man, the way you talking, you might want to hook up with him instead of the girl, the way he was talking about the guy sitting in the back seat. Of course, they were joking and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And very respectful, you know. And Tyler asked me if I wanted some cold In-N-Out fries. And he even said they're cold In-N-Out fries. And I was like, no, thank you, man. I already ate. It's late, you know, like that. And he kept asking me about, oh, come on, man. You know you want these cold In-N-Out fries. I'm like, no, I don't want. I'm not hungry, okay? He asked me one more time. I was like, okay, I'll take the In-N-Out fries. I'll give them to my kids. Because they always ask me when I come home, Daddy, did anybody offer you cold fries from In-N-Out Burger? And his partners just started rolling. I'm like, yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. This is my tip, right? Cold In-N-Out fries. I'm going to give them to my kids.
Where's your five-star rating here?
Huh?
You forgot about five stars?
Oh no. I did, and I'm sure I got five stars because everybody was laughing. They were like, this is the funniest Uber ride we had, except for Tyler. Tyler felt like
that's what I mean. Who got the Uber?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it Tyler's? Normally
it was Tyler's Uber, but then I set him at ease. He was like, "This guy." He was like, "Man, this dude should be a comedian." And I was like, "You know what, Tyler? I don't want you to feel bad." He's like, "Man, you stepped on my shit." I was like, dude, I'm a professional. And then I gave him our cards for the podcast. I was like, I do a podcast. I'll do a shout out to you. They were real cool. Real cool guys, man. But, you know, you shouldn't. I mean, especially Alicia Viejo. You know, not the poor part of town.
If they were hot In-N-Out fries, would you have taken them? Or if you would have picked them up at In-N-Out and they said, hey, drive to the drive-thru, let's get you something to eat first. Would you have taken that?
I think I've only done that maybe once because it's like people try to force you to eat at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, you drive them through Delta. I'm like, I'm fine. I already have a coffee. And it's like, you know, and they ask you over and over again. And it's just like you and Coachella. I didn't let you know where I stand. I'm not moving from that. Oh, come on, man. Don't you want something here at Del Taco? No. I don't want the shits in the morning. Thank you. But they'll keep asking. And it's like, man, it's almost...
But let me go back to my first one. If they were hot In-N-Out fries, let's just say.
I thought about
let's
it.
Just say,
I
let's just
about
say
it.
They got an extra
no,
one on accident.
No, no.
It's a man, they gave us an extra fry. You want
no,
these fries?
No, not at that time of night.
Man.
Not that
I
time.
I think you're
night.
Full of shit right now.
No. I don't need fries that damn bad.
Fries are good at any time of night, number one. It's not about needing
when
them.
I get them. When I get them. I don't know where those. I don't know where your fries been. You can put your hands all through them fries and then gonna give me your cold ass leftover fries. Thank you, man. Thank you. Oh, this is a beautiful house. Looks like it's at least 1.2, and you offer me some cold ass fries. Thanks, kid. That's just what a 54-year-old man.
What does his parents' house have to do with anything?
Oh,
about
looks
the
like
fries?
You're doing pretty good.
But
his parents were doing pretty good. His friends looked like they were all healthy and had all the kinds of the nutrition that you need to be a Orange County Caucasian. They looked like they were healthy.
So far.
It looked like they were quite now, healthy.
See, here's the point, is now we've gotten into the Disturbia, because the real story is starting to come out from your head.
What?
Damn white boy is out for me some cold ass
fries. If a brother would have offered me some cold ass fries, I would have let him know exactly. Like, come on, man. Come on, dude. Really, you want to give me some cold? I mean, nobody even likes cold fries, man. Why would you give them to me as a gift? As something as offer? I mean, if we were bums on the street and we were scrounging for nourishment and somebody gave me some cold ass fries, I'd be like, thank you. But being an Uber driver, I'm several levels above that.
Why is it anything about levels? Why couldn't it just be, man, we got a whole tray of fries. I don't want to throw them out. I might as well see if somebody wants them. Man, they're cold, but do you want these fries?
And after you've been told three times, no, I don't want the cold fries. I don't want the cold fries. I told him, I appreciate your offer, but nah, I don't want any fries. He just kept on. And that's when I thought maybe they're drunk or high. I don't know. Maybe they're just having fun. And then that's when I thought, okay, if he asks me one more time, we gonna all have fun. Sure, Tyler, gonna take those home to my kids. They sit at home right now. They always ask me, Daddy, Daddy, anybody offer you cold fries? Do you have cold fries for us tonight? And I said, they always up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning waiting for me to bring them food that other people didn't want.
There's so much more under that story. So much. There's a whole nother movie underneath that storyline.
Mm-hmm. And some people will be able to pick that up. And let's just say they have a certain amount of melanin in their skin. They'll know exactly what I meant. Damn. Cool. And I liked the kid. He was a nice kid. And I knew that he came from a good place. He was coming from a good place, a good heart. Like you said, he just... But just stop asking me. After three, you're going to get something just like you did with Coachella. It's like, damn, man, do I need to hit you in the head? Would that make you remember that nigga don't want to go to Coachella?
Don't worry, I just haven't figured out how to package it right, just like this podcast. How many times did you tell me no about this damn podcast? I figured out a right series of words to say in a sentence.
It was perfect. And you were like, all right, sure. It was perfect. It was perfect. I told you that. You say I don't give you enough praise. That was good. I even told you on that conversation. I said, you know what, man? I said, that was a good pitch.
All right. My problem is that I got to pitch you. I should just be able to say, let's do this, and we do it.
Talk to my wife. She didn't even tell you. It don't work that way. We just do it, no? What we just do is now we have a conference. Now we need to talk and discuss ideas, pros and cons, and we come to
But I'm automatically
solution.
At a disadvantage because I'm not sure which person I'm talking to. One day that person thinks it's a great idea. The next day, who knows what happened between day one and day two.
Who are you talking about?
You.
Oh, you crazy, man.
I'm crazy.
Okay, what idea did I say was crazy and then turn around and said, no, that's great?
This one?
What? This took you years. This took you years to do.
I know. Uh-huh. I didn't say anything much different. I don't even know if you remember the damn conversations.
I remember the conversations, but I know that
what you remember is that I want you to do something and you said no.
I wanted it to be good.
And I wanted it to be something that maybe some people could learn something about. Maybe, you know, hey, check out my show every Thursday at the Umami Burger. It's PG-13 open mic comedy. Sign up, start at 7:45. Show starts at 8:30. And I host the show and I put people up on stage. And it's a safe place for them to try out new material. There's a level of difficulty because it's PG-13. They can't say fuck or pussy or any of that shit. They can say shit, but they only get 3 minutes, and they don't need to say shit for 3 minutes. But I give people a place where they can come see people work out. Some people come just to see people crash and burn, you know, not be fun. That's
a fantastic part.
Yeah, and some people see people progressively get better.
It's another good part of it.
I like to think that I'm not making jokers.
Is this your veiled way of saying that you are providing something? You're like, you're still trying to earn your wings into heaven. I know what you're trying to do.
And if anybody...
this whole pitch you're trying to give me right now is supposedly about a
this
show.
This is going
to
be...
And you're just trying to get into heaven still and make up for all the wrong you've done.
All the wrong I've done. All the wrong I've done. It's all going to be forgiven once they hear this podcast. Like, oh, you know what? You sold cars for 13 years. We forgive you for that. You worked at the Irvine Improv for 10 years. We can forgive that.
Just can't forgive them.
Comedian for 12 years out in this beautiful place called California. Place of dreams. I'm gonna tell you something, guys. You might not believe this, but old friendly Frank's gonna tell you something that's gonna sound a little out there, but wishes do come true. In this life, I don't know how to stress to you, but there's certain times where I don't know if there's someone listening and they grant that wish then, but wishes do come true. The only thing is you need to be very detailed in what you want. Be very detailed. Because I always wanted my own comedy show. And now I have one at the Irvine Improv. They got the big digital screen with me up there.
Yeah. That must be on the off days.
What?
On his calendar. So one day is to fuck with you, the other day is to do something nice for you.
What?
I mean, you're high on this priority list for this Godfella.
No. I told you he messes with me.
Oh, the arrogance in that statement alone is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Oh man, I was about to wrap this up, but we just had a special guest come in.
Oh man! See, I told you he had to work, man.
Yeah, yeah, I got a few.
He had a meeting. Well, yeah. I talked to him before, and he said we got Lloyd in here, guys. That's now, good. For some of you all who listened before, episode 10, part 2, was what I consider one of my bigger failures in life, because we recorded a solid episode, and I recorded it without a microphone. So it's lost. It's a conversation. It's
like smoke.
That was a conversation that the world should have heard that only 3 people heard.
It was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought for the 20th I'd bring Lloyd back in because I came across something the other week that Lloyd happened to be a part of.
It was a funny experience.
So there's a gal that works here.
Make sure this is recording, right? Okay.
Yeah, who works
can
here?
They sure, hear Lloyd? Plastic. Make sure they hear Lloyd.
Don't mess this up,
man.
We good.
So there's a girl who works here at the Esports Arena with Lloyd, and her and I were chit-chatting, and she goes, "Man, I gotta get this hat." Right?
Wait, did you tell him already?
I haven't even told him about it yet.
Is this the first time you're hearing it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I got it. What's shitty is I'm going to screw it up because I don't remember what was the
it said something Rosa Parks.
It was like, hell no, right?
Nah, it was like, nah. It just said nah.
Oh, it just said like, nah.
It said Rosa Parks, nah, and then had the date.
Yeah, so on the big part of the hat just said, nah. And then underneath it said, Rosa Parks, 1952, or whatever it was, as like a quote.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh man, I just love this hat. I think it's great. And I look at it, and I get Lloyd's attention. I go, Lloyd, turn around. I said, now before you turn around, what would you say if you saw, now this young lady that we're talking about, she doesn't look like this, but what would you say if Shannon, white girl from the Laguna Niguel, in her yoga pants, was walking down the street with the hat that said, nah, Rosa Parks, 1952. What would you say, Frank? It's a thinker. And there's not a good answer in this one,
It's not mine.
But I want to hear your initial response. What was the first thought that you just tried to filter out in your head? And you saw the girl, long blonde hair, yoga pants.
I would think she's Jersey Mike's daughter that has 4 mixed kids. That's what I would think. I don't know. Sometimes people try too hard.
Okay.
And
how so in that instance?
Really? You really, really, really want to buy that hat? You really need that hat? Why do you need that hat? Why do you need that hat so bad? Why are you telling everybody around you that you need that hat? That's my point.
Uh-huh. So you think it's trying too hard to be, like, power for the people? When you're not part of the people.
I think it's just
you can be part of the people without going overboard. You know, your actions. It's not just what you say, it's your actions. And sometimes it's your non-action. Know when to do action, know when to do no action.
And Lloyd, what was your initial thought?
My initial thought was like, you crazy. Like I told Mike, I was like, I wouldn't approach her, but I would think like, you are putting yourself in a position that is not like, you want to get approached. Not like attacked, but like you are the description of said person in that hat and the power behind Rosa Parks' name. It's just like you said, like you crossing the line. Like even if that's what you're trying to do, there is a line that if you aren't black, you just can't cross, even if you're supporting at the end of the day. And it was like at that, my initial thought was just like, you're tripping. Like, why'd you even get this hat? I'm like, she could have explained to me. She could have been like, oh, I'm all for black lives matter. I wouldn't care. I'm like, bro, you can't. You just can't.
No, if I would have seen her on the street and she had that hat on, I'd see it, trip off of it, and I'd keep on going.
True.
I wouldn't be like, hey, take that hat off.
I would not either.
I mean, you know, I'd be a little confused. I'd be like, well, I've seen other things that confuse me. Like white people doing the floss dance.
Constantly.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I hate about Fortnite. They have given little white children a thought in their head that they can dance now.
Well, Fortnite.
Everyone thinks that's actual real dancing.
They stole it.
Yeah. All the moves are all stolen.
Yeah. That's my point. Now you got people in old folks' homes flossing.
But you have kids that
and nobody knows where it originally dances. And a lot of these people don't know where it originally came from. They think it came from Fortnite. Those came from rappers and performers. All those moves, all those dance moves that you see them doing in the commercials. You don't see nobody waltzing. You don't see nobody dancing the jitterbug. They're doing all, and won't let you know. Won't even pay them. Some of the, you have to pay for that.
Well, right now they're saying you can't copyright a dance move.
Right? How's that? So, that's not so necessarily that, intellectual so, property. So that at
was
the moment.
Yeah, that was the problem. There was like you can't copyright a dance move. So that was a problem. But I hear you. And to tie it back into this whole Rosa Parks thing is like, what you're getting at, which I think a lot of people are missing, it's not about the white kids doing the dance. It's more that the people who created it don't get the shine for it because they're black. But when the white kid does it, it's, or anybody who's not black that does it, it's this huge thing that's like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. But it's like, yo, the people who originated it within the black community that are doing it, it's like, oh, but y'all supposed to know how to do that. So it's cool, like, yeah, mm-hmm. it's whatever. But these people aren't supposed to know how to do it, so when they do it, it's cool. And so, like, for the Rosa Parks hat, the way that I look at that whole situation is, like, even if you're a supporter, there is a line that people cross that's like, if I were to wear that hat and I wore it out, it would be nothing. Like, it wouldn't be an issue. But I feel like the person that's wearing that hat is, like, trying to leverage the power that Rosa Parks had on the black community for themselves and to, like, try to transcend that. And so a lot of it is ties back into, like, how society in general takes a lot of what the black community does and glorifies it within their community. But when we do it, we either get shunned upon, or it's not as cool, or it's not a thing, and we don't even get to make money off of it mm-hmm. at that point. And so mm-hmm. it's like, for me, someone putting on that hat is like, you just here for the clout. You here for what that hat stands for, and yeah. you just want the clout from it. And that's the only reason why you're wearing this hat. Even if, like you said, you can support, but you can support from a distance because there's certain things you can and cannot do, for the most part. And so, like, that's how I look at that stuff.
Here's what I thought.
Now, before you get started,
okay,
because you made a good point, here's another level of it. What's the gymnastic girl's name? Simone?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
Biles?
Yeah, Biles.
I've seen Biles.
You
yeah.
seen that post?
No.
So, like, people were arguing. I think it's about to go ahead.
Go ahead. You
people were arguing about her not being the, like, best gymnast to ever live, period. And on paper, there's no doubt. Like, on paper, there's no doubt. If you research it, the amount
of more medals,
she got more medals
else,
than
right?
a male or yeah. female gymnast. No matter what. And people were saying, because she's black, that she, like, she was more athletically inclined to da 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 da. And it's like, nah, bro. Like, why is it?
I would say she was more athletically inclined. She, not
because
she was black,
has,
but just
she
because
has
of her body
moves.
Frame.
She has moves
that people can't,
that nobody else can do.
Not even males.
And they deduct from her when she does those moves. When she does that move that nobody else can do, they take points away from her. You would think you would get more because you can do something that no one else has ever been able
well,
to
here's
do.
What, here's
but
what
you get penalized.
Probably will happen. As of right now, the rules of gymnastics are set in the point where you have to do things a specific way to earn the point. That's how they classify the athleticism of the sport. Mm-hmm. Now, if she's changing that and she's getting penalized for exceeding that, my guess would be, and what I hope would happen, is that they then, you can't change the rules until you find someone who can break them, right? So now you got to put the rules in a different place and say, you can get a 5.0 if you do this kind of athleticism. So
all I know is they had these, that
the
Russian
box.
Girl, Namia Komenich, you know, she was supposed to be this great gymnast 40 years ago. You know, she was a superstar, and you got this girl. And, I mean, the lack of recognition for what she does... is
I don't think she gets a lack of recognition. I see her all over the news, and she's got her medals hanging up. Now, if people are arguing it and they just want to cause a fuss, I mean, they have that right to cause a fuss. Now, what I'd be interested in is who's arguing. Are these athletes in that profession who are arguing it?
Yeah.
Are these perf, you know,
they think it's
proficient?
Not fair. It's not fair.
Like,
I can't do that.
It's. I agree. She does get recognition, but I don't think it's at the level that it should be at. It's expected recognition, if that makes sense. Anyone who accomplished what she accomplished would gain recognition. But someone who may have either been white or Mexican who have accomplished that, it would have been a thing that was like, this is like unheard of. You are once in a lifetime kind of person. And that persona is not being given to Simone, which I think it should. Because she is a once in a lifetime kind of gymnast.
So then is it your contention that should she be Mary Lou Retton today, it would be a different...
I don't even know who that is. I'm gonna be honest.
She was America's gymnastic sweetheart in the 80s. Well, Frank, then, if it was Mary Lou Retton doing that today, do you think there would be a different amount of
hoopla? This girl has more, like you said, men and women. She has more than, and she's only what, 22?
She's young.
She's super young, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, the skill level that she's at, and I think that she doesn't get what she should. And if you see some of the posts that she gets on her Instagram or like that, you know, it makes you think about all these patriots out there. Some of those are patriots, you know. Talking about her, she winning medals for this country. She's representing this country. How you gonna dog her? I know how. I know why.
Well, I don't think anybody's contesting the fact that those people don't exist. Do you know what I mean? And again, I actually like that they can speak out in it.
They've said some horrible, nasty shit about that girl. I like that
they can show themselves. And she doesn't deserve any of that. Right. But everyone should just be able to take mark on, oh, who said what? Oh, okay, good. You just outed yourself. I like that people have forums where they can say whatever they want and it's out there for the world to see, because I think that starts pinpointing who people are. But your
first breath was, she doesn't deserve that.
No, nobody would deserve something like that.
Right.
Nobody deserves that talk. But that doesn't mean that just giving the happen.
Open invitation, and I get it. I'd much rather know. The
invitation has to be out there.
Yeah.
How you respond to it and how you acknowledge these people who are saying these terrible things is where it really starts. All I'm
saying is, you know, don't put yourself in a category calling yourself a I'm a real American or, you know, like that when you got somebody that is American. And you can't give them, they do. Now, they didn't exceed it. They have exceeded. They're not marginal. They didn't have it set up so that, you know, it was less difficult for her. She made it so it was at a skill level where it was more difficult for everybody else to do what she does.
But that person who says they're a real American and are the type of people that we're talking about, great. Let them say that all day long. You know now who they are. They're exposing them. Uh-huh. Kind of what we talked about before. They used to hide in little corners. Didn't hide. Sure they did.
From not the general, in Missouri. From Missouri, the general they don't public, hide.
Absolutely they could.
Missouri didn't
and
hide.
And now they think they can hide because they're behind a computer screen, but they can't. They're right there still.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about the hat was that my first thought was, oh, that's kind of funny. My second thought was, let me think about that. And it wasn't necessarily who was wearing it. It was more a society thing for me, where why is it that we can take somebody's name that represents literally an entire movement for an entire people, right? Mm. A huge population in our country. Why can we use the power of that name and whip it up with some current day slang, you know, or pop culture? Why is that part okay? That's the part that I actually was because more excited about. Because
that's what they're really marketing. The Rosa Parks is second.
I agree.
you know,
but it's not second. It's actually first. They're trying to play it as second. But the power of the hat comes from first. Because I can see, you know, something I told the young lady who was here looking at the hat and who really liked it. She liked it in a truly sincere way. Right?
For what it was supposed to be meant for.
And yeah, I said, you know that. What? I said, I'll tell you what. You wear that hat, I just hope you don't come across some sisters with some cornrows, because I think you're going to have a big problem there. You and Lloyd, you guys will probably be able to look at it and walk by and go, oh, okay, well, I get, hopefully you mean it in that sense. So but I think the girls, on the other hand, are going to have a whole different conversation with her.
So you think, you're saying that this person wearing the hat, you already have a preconceived notion of their thoughts and feelings?
No, but what I think, what I agree with Mike is that we don't. Is that if I am a said person, for example, I have friends who are real, like, they will approach certain people that are
right,
let's say they got to make an American, like, they will approach that person and really, like, question their morals and stuff, like, on the spot. We don't know. I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know why you're wearing that hat. I don't know if you're wearing a hat for ass. We know that she was doing it for scissors because we know, because she's a co-worker. Like, we know her thoughts and what she thinks about said situation. But a random person walking down the street, I have no idea. Now, me?
That's the same thing you say for somebody wearing a MAGA hat. MAGA hat.
And so me, it's like, I know logically that, okay, I don't know what you're thinking, and it could be this or this, so I'm going to just leave you alone. So I'm not going to say nothing. But for the most part, that's why I said there's that line. Whether it's this or this, depending on who you are, you just can't wear the hat. That's just my opinion. If you're not, in my opinion, if you are not black, you can't.
I won't go that far. All I'm going to say is you can wear the hat.
I don't think
but,
so.
But, there are, for every action, there's a reaction. You need to be prepared for the reaction. Now, you almost asking for it.
No, I feel you. No, I agree with that as well.
Uh-huh.
I look at it like how...
I look at the hat, and I think it's funny. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I think, well, now would I wear it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready for that conversation with people and have to explain myself, because I do know what I mean by it. But I don't want to have to explain to a stranger, and I also don't want to offend a stranger either just because of the hat I'm wearing.
That makes sense.
And I also don't think that you should be offended by a hat somebody's wearing. However, I will judge you with your Make America Great hat again.
Why is that? That's not fair.
Willing to say that I will automatically assume certain things about you. Not that you're a terrible person necessarily, but that you think a certain way that I'm not too friendly with. That's all. Or that you're kind of unintelligent.
Hey, look, because, like, me, I agree. Like, I'm on both sides. Like, I agree. Make America Hat Great Again is just... I would never touch that hat. If I saw a black person wearing that hat, that's a whole different story. If I saw
someone
who's not black wearing that hat, I'll kind of be like, yeah, I see. But see, this is all me assuming preconceiving shit, right? But I just think that hat alone, whether you're black, whether you support Trump, whether whatever it is just completely false. Because if you can just break down what America is in general, there is no, like, making it great again, in my opinion. It never was great, never started as great. It started off terrible and proceeded to be terrible. And so that's why me, that statement as a whole, regardless if it's associated with Trump or not, it's something that's just
You got Frank picking his hair out now.
No, for real though. Like,
no, he's with you.
But you feel me out? Like, regardless.
I'm like, let's go get some vibranium together, man.
Like, regardless, it's just the statement.
Yes, if you get into the deep part of really thinking about the statement. Now, here's what I look at the hat as. The hat's actually become a symbol. The saying doesn't mean anything. The hat alone doesn't mean anything, but that red hat with that white writing, it's a symbol of basically Donald Trump, and in my opinion, his just lack of any substance behind anything he says. And just how could you still be running right behind this man with everything that he's flubbed on? He could do some really amazing things in the country. Not saying he did or he didn't. I'm not that versed in it. But because of his fucking mouth and his stupid Twitters, he will never be recognized as anything besides all these
wrong. You're wrong.
Oh, I don't
because
think so.
There is at least 30 million people, good or bad, they behind him. They believe in him. They don't care if he stumbles and he falls, because some of them believe. They just arrested the guy that he had all these guns in his house and explosives, talking about Trump is the great white hope. That's what they think of him. And all I know is Trump has I don't know if you could call it, made it brighter so that you can see the ugliness as it works. It's almost like he's a magician that does shit so shitty that you can see that you're not making it disappear. You just put it behind your hand. I seen what you did there. And these people are seeing it, and they know it, but they feel like, I gotta like this guy. This is, for some people, they feel like that's their last, that's their our last chance. Because everybody knows 2040, we become the minority in this nation. You also need to know that make America great again was also a slogan in the, was it the 20s for Ronald the Klan?
It's Ronald Reagan's slogan. That's where it came from. Make America great. Donald Trump took that from Ronald Reagan's tour.
Uh-huh. I think it was also used by the Klan in the 20s, if I'm not mistaken. But
sure wasn't it, making America white.
No. Mm-mm. But
you have an interesting take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the way I look at least people who do support, like the masses that support Trump, to me it's just like an indication of like there are still massively groups of people, whether you're all the way on KKK or you're far from it, there are massive groups of people that want America to stay the same.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that's all Trump like really resembles, is like he wants to get back to tradition, like a couple years after like Black Wall Street kind of days.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
They'd be comfortable.
You know what I mean?
And then you wouldn't be able to say anything or speak up.
Nothing.
We wouldn't be able to do this back then. No. They would burn this place down. They heard me talking like that. I'd be swinging. I sure be swinging. And if you believe in reincarnation, maybe I've swung in the past.
Yo.
And maybe that's the reason why my afro is picked out. But somebody needs to. I mean, he lies right there in front of your face. Then you watch the videotape and he'll tell you I ain't lying. And it's like, I'm watching him. I mean, maybe you could have got away with this easier 30 years ago when you didn't have the technology. But I can actually pull it up on my computer and watch it on my phone and watch him say and not say that he said what he said right there. And there's at least, like I said, 30 million people that know that and don't care. Here's another one for you. The evangelicals. I used to believe that there was such thing as evangelicals. I thought that they were people of higher moral ground. They back him 95%. 95%. Guess what I don't believe in anymore? Took me over 40 years to figure that shit out. There ain't no such thing as evangelicals. Because just with his qualifications, just as a human being, before you even put him in the presidency, you look at his background. Now, you gonna forgive him? Oh, you can forgive him for that? But can't forgive Michael Vick? Served his time? Can't forgive OJ? Served his time? That's what I'm talking about. Now, this fool is getting ready to get us all run into the ground. And people are like, oh, no, you got to be careful seeing it. You just watch. Watch what's happened over there in Syria. They had over 10,000 ISIS members locked up. And they expected those Kurds to stay there while their country's being taken away from them. And they left, them fools is running wild. ISIS is coming back because we want them to. We need them to. And those troops that they took out of Syria, they moved them to Iraq. They ain't coming home. And for you to turn your back on people that fall alongside, and there's patriots, there's real patriots that know what I'm saying is the truth. They lost over 10,000 people, men, women, and children, during this war. They lost them. They're gone. And we turned our backs on those people. Our backs. Now, if we didn't do, and I'm just saying this, if we didn't do anything to deserve 9/11, We didn't do anything to deserve that. How do you think the Kurds feel right now? We deserve something. They watching their children. They watching their families. They watching their land, their property, all get taken away. All gone. All because one guy got on the phone and made a phone call and had a conversation. And now trying to make people believe that it's going to be all right. This is the kind of shit that's generational. They're going to remember this day. And they're going to remember who did it. And why they did it. And we might have to pay for that. Maybe not you. Maybe not me. But your kids and your grandkids. Till we get this shit fixed.
That's always the end. That's always the problem.
No, the problem is the problem is
the answer that fits for everybody.
The problem is you got old people with old ideas that don't want things to change, and they're afraid. And I get it, because I don't like change. I don't want to go to Coachella.
You're going. Watch.
No, I ain't.
Watch.
You don't want
to
go.
No, I don't want to go to no damn Coachella.
Lloyd, don't you think that'd be a good idea? Frank and I.
The only time I would have went to Coachella is when Prince was out there.
Do you like modern day music?
Yeah, I like modern day, but you know what, man?
I'm not talking about listening to music.
I don't like the crowd. I don't like the crowd. It's crowded. It's
that'd be cool.
It's not.
See, Lloyd says.
I think it'll be a cool experience for you to see what it's like.
I've been there before.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Huh? Not Coachella. I've been to the reggae festival. I've been to a reggae.
Look, you see what I'm dealing with? I've been there before.
It's a little different.
Bro. I've been to places like that before. I've been to reggae festivals. I've been to concerts before. I don't need to be around that many people. There's a lot of people there. You know, maybe it comes from working at a comedy club.
Just being stubborn is because you're changing your defense every time.
No, I'm not. I'm giving you all the reasons why.
Changing the defense.
Let me count the ways.
All right. Well, we've gone well over. This will be the extra bonus added episode. Lloyd, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks,
Lloyd. Appreciate it. We'll probably bring you in another time or two. I like what you add. And plus, I need somebody here to remind Frank he's being crazy because he never believes me when I say
it. He ain't saying I was crazy.
He ain't crazy. I actually like him. I think this might be me when I'm older.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
Oh, I hope not either, Lord. Lord, don't you say you be better than this, Lord. Please be better than this, man. Please, Lord, please let that boy be better.
All right, Frank, take us out of here.
God bless you all. If you don't believe in God, good luck. Stop. Shut them down, open up shop. Oh, no, that's how rough riders roll. Stop, drop, shut them down.